lift our voices and sing together this morning.
Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past.
Of grief or pain, leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways to a joyful end.
Indeed, God, we still our souls this morning through thorny way, through loss. We glimpse that joyful end, but it is difficult to see. So we gather this morning as your people. To bring courage to one another. To sit in grief and sorrow and loss, but not lose sight of that end. Holy Spirit, we invite you in these moments to bring a comfort that our hearts so deeply need, to bring a stability of soul when the world seems to have lost its footing, to put our gaze upon you this Palm Sunday, Lord Jesus, the week of your deep passion. This we ask in your name. Amen. You can be seated. I was at the I was at a memorial in Nashville earlier in the week with my daughter-in-law, Jordan, and Mayor Cooper began his first comments out of his mouth, and I wrote it down. He said, "This has been the worst week in the history of our city. We cannot fathom the awfulness and the evil and the loss and the pain that occurred at Covenant School." And I know for all of us in the room, those of us online, it hits closer to home for some than others. This is normal. But none of us, no one listening to my voice right now, can escape the ripples of what transpired in that time. We were finalizing our Palm Sunday services, as we do every Wednesday, looking to the week forward. And the question arose, do we put aside what we've put weeks in the planning, and do we change that? And it seemed to the Spirit and to us that absolutely we do, that we would adjust our Palm Sunday. And surely this is what Palm Sunday is about, is it not? And I think we'll sense that. So this will be a bit of a different service. If you're a guest this morning, it is no less Palm Sunday for the gathered people of Christ. It is the beginning of his week of suffering, his week of sorrow, you all. And so we join him in that week. Over the next hour, we're gonna sing. We're going to speak to God personally. I'm going to invite you to do that. Speak to God privately. We'll invite you to actually say some things out loud. The gathered body, especially in moments like this, is fundamental, essential, and necessary. That we do these things, not, you know, what we're going to do, perhaps you've been doing all week, but God calls us to do that together as a community of faith. And that's what we'll do this morning. Paul tells us this in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. It says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, as those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope." And so we sent an email earlier in the week that reminded you that grief and hope are inseparable this side of heaven. Life in a fallen world is on display. So it's on display every day, you all. We just don't see it as vividly, though, do we, as we have, and we don't experience so closely, perhaps, as we have this week. But it is, you know, there is sadness and joy, right? The two extremes. There's loss, and then there's gain. There's longing. There's fullness. There's neither one without the other, this side of our heavenly home. God's people have always understood this. They've always known this. And it comes out most evident, perhaps, in the Psalms. And did you know there are more Psalms of lament than all other categories of Psalm? So the nation's hymn book is, it's tilted toward lament. And lament being simply those songs which take grief and hope, not one or the other, that take sadness and loss, that take anger, that are pleas, why, or oh God, and hold that, and then also hold who God is and where our hope lies. The Psalms of Lament teach us to sit well in our sorrows that we might stand strong in our hope. And it plunges us, y'all, this is Palm Sunday. What does Palm Sunday do? It begins this week of suffering. It plunges us toward the darkness of Good Friday. We don't skip it and go to Easter. No, you go to Good Friday. And that's the trajectory of our time this morning. Let me invite you to stand once again, and we will begin our or continue our time with the psalmist inviting us to sing our lament, Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long, excuse me, how long will my enemy triumph over me? Psalm 26, turn to me and have mercy, for I am alone and in deep distress. My problems go from bad to worse. Oh, save me from them all. Feel my pain and see my trouble. Psalm 60. You have shaken the land and torn it open. Mend its fractures, for it is quaking. You have shown your people desperate times. You have given us wine that makes us stagger. Save us and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered.
Sorrows deep I go, when my hope is shaken, torn and ruined from the fall. Hear my desperation, for so long I've bled and prayed. God, come to my rescue, even so the thorn remains still. Within my troubled soul, questions without answers. On my faith, these pillars roll, guiding now my shelter. Why are you cast down, my soul? Hope in Him who saves you. When the fires have all grown cold, start to praise you. Oh, my soul, put your hope in God, my help, my rock, I will praise Him. Sing, oh, sing, through the raging storm, you're still my God, my salvation. Oh,
seated. I'm going to give you some space in these next few moments to process. We'll do this a couple times through our morning. I want you to pay attention to what you're paying attention to. I want you to pay attention to the tears. I want you to pay attention to the words that we sang and what did that prompt in you. I want you to think about your week. What's stirring? Now, it's so important, as I said earlier, that we sit well with our grief, that we stand strong in our hope. That means engaging the heart. It should be familiar to us as a community of faith. What are we thinking? What are we feeling? Take the next minute. Bow your heads, and I want you to pray. This is your private prayer with God. Tell him what's stirring in your heart, what's been there, every emotion, every feeling, every longing, what's stirring within. Bring that before God. Would you do that now? Our togetherness gives us this opportunity, and we do this sometimes. I think it's not totally unfamiliar, but I'm going to invite you to say out loud, Jesus, I need you to be my blank. I have it on the screen, and you know, when we do anything like this, I want you to understand, we don't wait for it to get quiet. It's almost like, you know, we didn't have to wait for everyone to pray. God hears us. And so we'll speak over each other, but we're speaking to each other actually with our words. And so just out loud, I'm going to invite you in these next few moments to simply say out loud, just look up at the screen and say, Jesus, I need you to be my mercy. Jesus, I need you to be my strength. Jesus, I need you to be my. What is that for you? It could be a whisper, I get that, or it could be a shout. But let's speak that out loud as a community of faith. Would you do that now, please? Jesus, I need you to be my hope that doesn't disappoint. Jesus, I need you to be my ground that doesn't move. Mm. Desperately, we need you. Hear the cry of your people this day. I'm going to give you some guided prayer prompts, and I'm going to invite you to pray those prompts. You can remain standing, you can sit, you can kneel. There's kneelers up here. So standing is fine, sitting is fine, kneeling, however you want to posture yourself in these moments of prayer. Let us claim the promises of John and his words to us early in his gospel. That the light has come. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. Cannot overcome it. Let us pray that the light overcomes the darkness. And when we do, right, we pray that with confidence. Pray that the light would shine. Perspective, hope, whatever the Spirit brings to your mind, let's pray for those families, teachers, students, administrators. for the first responders who are living with the weight of doing the right thing at great cost to themselves. Pray for each of these families as I read a name. Some of you know them personally. Some of you are so close, one, maybe one degree removed. Some of you attending memorials and funeral services. Let's pray for Catherine Kuntz, her family. Cindy Peak, pray for her family. For Mike Hill. For Evelyn Dykus. Hallie Scruggs. William Kinney. The family of Audrey Hale. Holy Spirit, we thank you that when words fail us, you do not. Groanings beyond human comprehension. In the ears of the Father and the Son. Let's all stand, please. from sorrows deep we call. When our hope is shaken, torn and ruined from the fall, hear our desperation. And even though the thorn remains, O God, we will still praise you. We must, we can. We will call upon you, God of Jacob. What you have always done for your people. Yes, in these moments of grief and loss, we confidently and rightly call upon you, O God, to do for us.
You heard your children. You hear your children. You are the same. You are the same God. You answer prayers, and you will answer. You are the same.
Gets grief. All the pain you were carrying before last Monday still holds true. We just have fresh hurt to wrestle with. I want to sing a song that reminds you to hold on to the promises of God. Whatever circumstances you're walking through, we have an unshakable hope in the Lord. We sing together.
Trust in you.
sovereign and you are here. Every word you said is true. Oh, I will trust in you. Oh, I will trust in you. Oh, Jesus, hold this heart that needs you. Touch my eyes to see you. Oh, Jesus, here I am. Jesus, bind a faith that's broken. Break my heart wide open. Oh, Jesus, here I am. We sing this prayer together with your voice. Jesus, hold this heart that needs you. Touch my eyes to see you. Oh, Jesus, here I am. Trust in you, 'cause you are strong, you are able, you are sovereign, and you are here. Every word you said is true. Oh, I will trust in you, 'cause you are strong, you are able, you are sovereign, and you are here. Every word you said is true. Oh, I will trust in you. Trust in you. Yes, I will trust in you.
Maybe you see me.
In the Gospel of John, which we are working through, walking through, we jump ahead a little bit today. Jesus enters Jerusalem for the last time. In other words, he enters on what we say is Palm Sunday. It's this day in our calendar as we move toward Good Friday and Easter. Jesus, right before he entered, he informed his friend Lazarus, or he was informed that his friend Lazarus was very ill. And we're going to unpack this when we get there, but rather than rush to his side, the text is so clear, Jesus delays and Lazarus dies. Again, we'll unpack that later, but suffice it to say, Jesus delays, lets Lazarus die. Surely that raises questions, right, for all who've been walking with Jesus, who know Jesus's heart, who know what he can do, what he has done for others. And so it raises those doubts, certainly creeps into Mary and Martha's mind. You recall when they get there, they say to Jesus, Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Y'all, we know the story, right? He does raise Lazarus from the grave. But even before raising Lazarus, we know Jesus's heart. Perhaps two words say it all, right? Shortest verse in the Bible, John, verse 35, Jesus wept. By the way, it is a wailing. When Luke records Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, he writes this, and when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it. Only two times in the gospel accounts we know it's noted that Jesus wept, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but they are hidden from your eyes. Let's not forget, Jesus wept. He wailed. Groaned. Would it not be inaccurate in a sense to say there is no bottle big enough to hold Jesus's tears? all the tears he shed. Don't miss this. Jesus weeps, and this is so important, he has come to Jerusalem to do something about his tears and ours. That's why he's there. Palm Sunday's the beginning of his final week, a week of suffering that, quite frankly, you and I can't fully comprehend. It's a week of suffering that ends in his death. But it's a week of suffering that one day, okay, that one day we might suffer no more. Okay, he must go through it. John 12:12-13 describes the scene. It says, the next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches from palm trees and they went out to meet him, crying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And it is perhaps that word, Hosanna, that holds the key to us understanding. Not only does he weep, but he saves. In shouting Hosanna, the crowd is reciting a verse from Psalm 118. It's the only place in the Old Testament where the word Hosanna occurs. Every Jewish man and woman knew it. Y'all, to say Hosanna, blessed is he. This is like you and I singing Happy Birthday. We don't need the lyrics. We all know it. Why? Because it's the messianic psalm of hope. It is their great confidence. It's what they're banking on. Hosanna, that the Lord would send a deliverer. I think I've got it on the screen. Yes, this is Psalm 118, 24 and 25. It's, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us. Hosanna, that's the word. Save us. We pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray. Give us, it's O Lord, save us now. This is the idea behind the word. It's the cry of a person who's drowning, but not in water, but in grief. It's the cry of a person drowning because life is not going the way I hoped it would. It's the person who's drowning because there is no hope. It's the person who says, I can't take it anymore. Hosanna! Would you save now? It's a plea, is it not? It was sung at the Passover festival for centuries. They would sing this song. It's tied to, you know, they sang it at Passover because it tied to the deliverance, right? When they're, I happened to glance at the TV last night and the Ten Commandments is on, you know, it's 4 hours of Charlton Heston. And there's a lot added to that, by the way. There's not all, that's not in that story, but it's tied to that because it is saying, you know, deliver us from bondage, you know, to Pharaoh. Through the centuries, it became, because it's tied to that, it became not just, do you know what I'm saying? It became not just, save us. It became not just that plea, okay? But over time, it became, save us because you have, the deliverer has come. It's kind of like, it's the plea and it's the confidence in the deliverance. Watch this, together. The word kind of melded together, such that when the crowd's saying it here, they're actually saying, save us, and you have saved us, and you will save us. Psalm 118, I've got it on the screen. Let's put that on the screen, Psalm 118, that goes all the way to verse 26, because the psalm goes like this. This is the day the Lord had made. It's a day of salvation. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hosanna, that's to save us. We pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. But then look at verse 26. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. In other words, okay, the cry for deliverance runs smack into the deliverer. Do you see that? Save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the one who's come. We might say it like this, the cry for salvation the cry for salvation for those in Christ, the cry is always connected to the deliverer. He's come. We get ahead of ourselves a bit, but we must get ahead of ourselves every day of our lives. Easter is always real, right? So we know that he's come, he's risen, he's accomplished what he came to do. When we find ourselves crushed by life, by waves of evil and wrong that are incomprehensible, you all, our Hosanna is both our prayer and a proclamation that our prayer has been answered. Does this make sense? It is to say, save us, and it is, you have saved. That's for us in Christ. Jesus will be bruised and beaten this week. Let us not forget these things. It's the week of his passion. And when you hear that word passion, it comes from the Latin. It's suffering. He will go beyond physical suffering to a suffering that we could not endure. Because it goes through the suffering of being separated from the Father. Why? Because he's bearing the penalty for our sin. Easter morning awaits, yes. Death cannot hold him, yes. Because of that, we know that in him we will never suffer the greatest suffering, separation from our Father. We'll never die the second death. We'll live forever with our God. So we hold these things. Let me just articulate it this way. Number one, there is no way to avoid suffering in this life. No way. No way. Jesus suffered. We will. He's our model in suffering. Number two, he knows what we feel when we suffer, when we grieve. He knows. That means we're not alone. That's why we're doing what we do today. We're doing today as a community of faith. Because Christ lives in each one of us. And we need to look each other in the eyes to know, oh, I'm not alone. Number three, through his suffering, you all, he has secured a time and place when suffering will be no more. It's future. It's not now. But it is as sure as the sun will rise tomorrow, where every tear is wiped away, we're promised in Revelation. All justice is fulfilled. And everything is as it was meant to be. And it'll be that way forever. We grieve. We have hope. You can't separate them. We suffer. And we await the day when suffering will be no more. Do not separate them. They're inseparable in Christ. We cry out and we're delivered in Christ Jesus. Perhaps nowhere is this more evident than in the table, is it not? Let's take the elements to the table. If you're a guest this morning, please join us if you know Christ. We take this bread and we take this cup. Go ahead and remove the bread and go ahead and peel the top off your cup so you have the cup available to you. Y'all, isn't it interesting? You know, the Lord's table is so multifaceted and we take it every week. We could never exhaust its perspective and its meaning. Isn't it interesting that in our church liturgy, when it's in our notes, even when we speak of it, we say we are celebrating the Lord's table. Do you see the juxtaposition of these two things? We are celebrating the Lord's table. That's those symbols of his death, his brokenness, his life poured out. You know, earlier we spoke and we said, Jesus, I need you to be my, and we speak it out loud because we want to instill hope in those around us. That's what we do as followers of Christ. And so now we're gonna complete the cycle on that statement. Let's go ahead and stand. Hold the bread and cup in your hand, please. You know, these, let us not forget that Jesus gave us these, symbolic of his body that was broken, his blood that was poured out, life's in the blood. And so with these before us, looking at them, holding them, we're about to receive them. Let's complete this statement. It's up on the screen. And so again, I'm gonna ask that you just speak it out loud. We'll speak over each other, it's okay. But may we remind each other, Jesus, you are blank. You could use a word, you could use a phrase. You are true, Jesus. Jesus, you are my hope. Just let's speak out what we know is true of the one who gave his body and his blood on our behalf. Jesus, you are my hope. Mm-hmm. Yes, Jesus. You are my stronghold. Yes, Jesus, you are my all. For your body broken, we say thank you, Jesus. Receive the bread. For your life given as your blood was poured out, we say thank you, Jesus. Receive the cup. Even in a service like this, certainly in a week like this, for some it can be difficult, and this is okay, to make that turn to hope. Certainly the closer you are to a loss, right, it's okay. You know, if you can't make the turn to hope, it's difficult to make the turn to hope. We're still in our grief. I hope we do understand that. In a sense, even when y'all, every time we turn to hope, may I remind you, you've never let go of the grief. You can't. Jesus invites us to turn to that hope. It may be hard for some to sing this next song, but we feel it's important because it's true. I'll take us back to where I began. Paul reminds us we do not grieve as those without hope. And whether we express that hope in private prayer or we express it like we're going to right now in a public response of our great hope, it's inseparable from the grief. We stand on the verge of Christ's passion now. What a week that sits before us as those who follow Jesus. The cross, you see, becomes in Christ not an instrument per se of our death and suffering, but the means by which death and suffering are overcome. No wonder Paul said he glories in the cross. That's weird. That's like sick in a way. You go, no, because it is where death and suffering and evil are overcome. God does this through the cross. This is not wishful thinking, you all. And this is why we sing what we're gonna sing. This is why we remind each other of what's true. This is the reality of the gospel. This is the gospel truth. Romans 5, Paul says that this gospel is the only, It's the only hope that doesn't disappoint, that doesn't shame. The only hope that doesn't disappoint, the gospel hope. This, what our city and our community lives through this week, it's not the way it was meant to be, and it's not the way it will always be. Because God will one day, make all things new. And we'll be with him forever.
When we all see Jesus.
Let this echo in our hearts, oh God. Let it be on our lips. Amen. Amen. It's Passion Week. Let's live it with Christ, perhaps in a way we've not ever before. I want to remind you that as we move through this week as a church family, there's a number of things that we need to keep in mind, not just times and getting tickets. I'm going to talk about that, but there's a devotion that we're doing. And even as we've done what we do when we gather here, we do together, I want to invite you to join this devotion. And so I'm literally going to give you a moment right now. If you haven't, take out your phone. Just take it out now. And if you've texted in, great. But this is if you haven't, I want you to do it now. You can either text it right now. You can take a picture of that, but please don't delay. Again, it puts us all in the same place as we move into Good Friday and as we'll step into Easter Sunday. So it's important. It's important what we do together. Also, a reminder, if you haven't gotten tickets for Easter, you know, we've got to do this because of space limitations. And to make room for those who are guests who are coming, and so the Easter services you'll see next on the screen. Again, you may take a screenshot of that, but you've got to go and register and let us know what time you're going to be coming to the Easter service, right? Hope you'll make the Good Friday service. Don't need to sign up for that. Just be there. But Easter morning, we need to know which service you're coming to. And if you can't get a ticket for that service, you know, I'm going to ask you to move to another one. Is that Brentwood Times? That is Brentwood Times. So I'm going to be at Brentwood personally. If you want to be with me, then sign up for one of those times. So go to the website on Franklin, y'all, and you will have the Franklin Times. I am so glad you guys aren't afraid to speak up. Say something. Prayer up front. You know, this is a morning perhaps would be wonderful for you to come up and pray. Daryl and his team will have people up front. So every Sunday we have it. This morning in particular, if you want to come, please come and let us pray with you. Turn your attention to the side screens, would you please? And I'll ask you to lift your voice with me leading us up here, leading this again. And we'll end our morning with this corporate response. If we could get that up. Oh, it's going to be, okay, it's behind me there. Okay. So this is a read out loud. May we speak these words together. Now shape us, Lord, even though this ache and sorrow, into those who do not let pain harden into hate, but who instead are made more tender over time. Convince us of your promise that these losses will be eternally restored. And so let us, in time, grow more fearless in love, O Christ. Do not let the darkness of this world overshadow the light of your love in us. Over all this dark and weary land, let your eternal glories rise. Radiant as a dawning sun, dispelling a black and tragic night. From this very heart of death, O God, call forth new and everlasting life. Amen. And God bless.